All right, everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? This time we're taking a closer look at the Divine Minister in paper 34 of the Urantia book. We're going to unpack this idea of the local universe Mother Spirit, her role in creation, and what it means for us. I'm super curious to see what insights we can uncover this time.
It's a fascinating topic, that's for sure.
So to set the stage, the Urantia book describes the Divine Minister as this unique individualization of the infinite spirit, personalized to be the companion and co-creator with the specific creator son. What jumps out at you with that description?
Well, I think the word personalized is really important here. It suggests that we're not talking about some distant, abstract force. We're talking about a being who is intimately involved in the creation and evolution of a universe. It's like the infinite spirit is focusing a part of itself specifically to partner with a creator son and bring a universe to life.
Right. And get this, the book uses she when referring to the Divine Minister.
Yeah.
A feminine divine force involved in the grand scheme of creation.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really significant point. For a long time, many religions have portrayed God as solely masculine, but the Urantia book presents a different perspective.
Yeah, it's definitely not your typical Sunday school lesson. Okay, so we've got this powerful feminine divine minister teaming up with a creator son. What does that partnership actually look like? Are they dividing up tasks, brainstorming? What's the dynamic there?
It's more like a beautiful cosmic dance of complementary energies. Imagine this. The creator son, with his divine vision, sets the blueprint for the universe. He's got the grand plan.
Okay, I'm picturing blueprints, the whole nine yards.
But it's the divine minister who takes those plans, that vision, and makes it a reality. She's the energy, the driving force that guides the physical manifestation of the son's ideas.
So it's like he's the architect and she's the builder.
Exactly. Or maybe a better analogy would be a composer and a conductor. The son composes the symphony and the divine minister brings that music to life.
I love that analogy. So we've got the blueprint, the music, but universes don't just poof into existence, right? There has to be a starting point, a spark. What does the Urantia book say about the actual birth of a universe?
Well, the book describes this event called the primary eruption, basically, a cosmic flash of energy that marks the birth of both the divine minister and the universe itself.
Okay, now that's got to be one heck of a light show.
Yeah.
But what's happening on a deeper level during this eruption?
Imagine a vast universal force choosing to focus its attention on a single creation. It's like this incredible shift from something expansive and undefined to a more focused, dedicated energy that becomes the nurturing mother spirit of this new universe.
So it's not just about creating stars and planets, but about a fundamental change in the very being of the divine minister herself.
Right. It's like, imagine the difference between tending to an entire forest and then deciding to focus all your energy on nurturing one single seed, helping it grow.
That's a powerful image. And that level of focus, that dedication, is what fuels the birth of a universe. This is where I really start to geek out about this stuff. So we've talked about the divine minister's role in, the physical creation of the universe. But the Urantia book also mentions that she has this power over something called mind gravity. Mind gravity, what in the world is that?
It's a fascinating concept, and it speaks to the idea that the divine minister's influence goes far beyond the physical.
So not just stars and planets, but our thoughts and feelings too.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about this mind gravity thing.
Well, think about it this way. Have you ever felt inexplicably drawn to a certain idea? Or you felt a pull towards a certain path in your life?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like those aha moments or those times when you meet someone and just know there's a connection.
Exactly. And those could be examples of mind gravity at work. It's this subtle influence on our thoughts, feelings, intuition, a gentle nudge from the universe.
Whoa. So it's not just physical gravity keeping our feet on the ground, but this mind gravity subtly guiding our thoughts and feelings, even our choices.
Precisely. And it's all connected to the divine minister.
Okay, now that is some next level stuff.
Mm.
So we're talking about a cosmic force that's not only creating the universe, but also influencing our minds and spirits. That is a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, so this mind gravity thing, it's shaping our thoughts, kind of nudging us toward our potential.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean everyone in the universe experiences it the same way?
That's a great question. And it gets us to another fascinating aspect of the divine minister. The Urantia book suggests that while all divine ministers share a common essence, they're also unique, reflecting the master spirit they originated from.
So each universe with its divine minister has its own personal touch, its own style of divine guidance.
Exactly.
Wow. So you're saying there could be all these diverse universes teeming with life, each shaped by its own divine minister.
Think of the possibilities. The Urantia book truly opens up a universe of possibilities, quite literally.
This is mind-blowing. Okay, so we've got this unique divine minister, mind gravity, a universe full of beings potentially experiencing it all in their own way. But how does this divine influence actually reach us? The book talks about spirit circuits. Mm. Spirit circuits, what are those? Like a cosmic internet connection.
Yeah. It's a fantastic analogy. The Urantia book describes three primary spirit circuits. The Creator Son's Spirit of Truth, the Divine Minister's Holy Spirit, and then the Intelligence Ministry Circuit.
Okay. Three distinct circuits, each with a specific function, I'm guessing.
You got it.
So the Spirit of Truth, what's its role in this cosmic network?
Think of it as like a beacon of spiritual insight. The Spirit of Truth draws those who are searching, you know, seeking a greater understanding toward the Creator Son.
So if you're feeling a little lost or you just want a deeper connection to something bigger than yourself, the Spirit of Truth can kind of point you in the right direction.
Exactly. It's that comforting presence, that guiding light on your spiritual journey.
That makes sense. What about the Holy Spirit? How does that fit into this whole cosmic network?
The Holy Spirit is unique because it's this constant presence. It's a direct link to the divine minister, this constant flow of her energy and guidance throughout the universe.
Like a direct line to the source, always on, always connected.
Precisely.
Okay. And then we have the intelligence ministry circuit.
Right. This circuit is composed of seven what are called adjutant mind spirits.
Seven. Okay. So what do they do?
Each of these seven mind spirits has a specific function, you know, contributing to the intricate workings of the universe.
What kind of functions?
Well, they embody things like wisdom, worship, counsel, knowledge, courage, understanding, and intuition.
Wait, those are all qualities that we as humans value and strive for. So you're saying our very capacity for these things is directly connected to these spirit circuits, to the divine minister herself.
That's exactly what the Urantia book suggests. These qualities aren't just lofty ideals. They're manifestations of divine energy flowing through these circuits, shaping not only the universe, but our very being as well.
Okay, that is a powerful thought. We're not just these like isolated beings on some random planet. We're part of something so much grander. But this is where things get a little tricky for me. You know, we've been talking about this nurturing energy, this divine guidance. But, you know, life can be tough. We make mistakes, face challenges, and sometimes, honestly, it feels impossible to connect with that better version of ourselves. So how do we reconcile this beautiful picture of the divine minister with the often messy reality of human existence?
That's a question we all grapple with. And the Urantia book doesn't shy away from the tough stuff. It acknowledges our dual nature, our capacity for both immense love and, at times, you know, profound selfishness, for incredible acts of courage and moments of paralyzing fear.
So it's not about pretending the struggles don't exist, but rather understanding where they fit into this bigger picture of cosmic connection.
Absolutely. The challenges, the moments when we feel lost or disconnected, aren't a sign that the divine minister has abandoned us. Instead, they're opportunities. Opportunities for growth, for us to choose to align ourselves more closely with those spirit circuits, that divine energy that's always there.
It's like these challenges, they're not a glitch in the system, but like a feature, something that's meant to push us toward growth and a deeper connection with our spiritual side.
Exactly. It's in those moments of choice when we're tempted to give in to fear or act selfishly that we're truly exercising our free will. We're choosing whether we align ourselves with the material or with the spiritual.
So it's not about being perfect, but about striving. Mm-hmm. It's about those conscious choices that bring us closer to the divine energy that's always available. But how do we actually do that? How do we tap into those spirit circuits, especially when life gets messy?
The Urantia book talks about cultivating certain qualities, love, wisdom, courage, understanding. It says these aren't just like nice ideas, but active forces that can transform our lives.
So by cultivating these qualities within ourselves, we create a stronger connection with the divine minister.
Exactly. It's about those small daily choices, you know, trying to be more loving, more understanding, more courageous. Those little things can shift our perspective over time.
This is where the rubber meets the road, right? It's one thing to talk about this cosmic stuff, but how do we actually live it? How do we make it real in our everyday lives?
Well, the Urantia book suggests some practical things. Prayer, meditation, acts of service to others, these practices can strengthen our connection to the divine minister.
So it's about quieting the noise of the world and creating space for that connection.
Exactly. It's about becoming more receptive to that subtle guidance, that energy that's always there.
Wow, this has been quite a journey. We've covered so much ground about the Divine Minister, her role in creation, in our own lives, the challenges we face, and the incredible potential that exists within each of us.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. So as you go about your day, maybe take a moment to reflect on those times you felt a little nudge in the right direction or a surge of courage when you needed it most. What if, just maybe, those were glimpses of the Divine Minister's influence, her love and wisdom at work in your life? Until next time, keep exploring those cosmic connections and remember, you're never truly alone in this incredible universe.